In this video, I'm going to demonstrate a technique that you can use to allow you to dynamically add an indeterminate number of controls to your web page. So, to get started, I'm going to load a running version of this application. And the reason that I want to show you the application first is that you would think this would be a fairly straightforward thing to do, but in fact, there are some necessary tricks in order to get this to work as you would expect. So, just to show you what our end goal is going to be, we've got a collection of controls here, and I can fill them in with text. And if I say add a text box, I get another one. And if I say get values, we go out and iterate through that collection of text boxes and retrieve all of the values, including the ones that have just been added after the page was initially rendered. All right, so it's all real time. So let's go ahead. I'm going to hop out of Visual Web Developer and then restart it and create a new website. And the first thing we're going to do is just do the markup. All of the real details are in the code behind. So to begin with, I'm going to take this div and at the top of the page, and we're just going to add a style to that. And of course, in your production app, you're going to want to put styles in a .css file and include them. But for the sake of the demo, I just want to center align this. So we'll say text align is center. And then inside this div, I'm going to create another div just that we can use as a container with some coloring. So I'm going to say style, and we'll set the background color equal to aqua. And we'll set the width equal to, let's just call it 250 pixels, just for a little formatting. And then, of course, let's close our div, and now we're ready to go. All right, so, and because of my limited screen real estate here, I'm going to move all of those out from a formatting perspective. Okay, now this is going to be an AJAX application, of course, so the first thing that I need to do is, at the top of my form, I'm going to add a script manager. So I'll go down to my AJAX extensions tool tab box. Let's change the name here. Now, here inside my div, the first thing that I'm going to do is just give myself a little bit of space. And then inside the div, I'm going to add an update panel. So let's go ahead, grab an update panel, drop it on the page. And of course, inside my update panel, I'm going to need a content template. So let's do that. And inside the content template, I'm going to add a placeholder. Now, the reason we need a placeholder here is that the placeholder is going to be the reference item that we're going to program against from our code behind. So really, all the magic of this dynamic control mechanism is handled in our code behind. So in our case, it'll be Visual Basic, or in your case, it might be C Sharp. So we need this placeholder to both run at server, and we need it to have an identifiable name. So let's just call this my placeholder. And that's all we need for that. All right, so this is where those text boxes will appear. The other thing that we need here is we need to know when to update that update panel. So we're going to add a triggers collection. Now, we haven't added any controls that are triggerable yet, so let's go ahead and do that. I'm just going to add a little bit more spacing here before we add a control, just for formatting purposes. Now here, let's add just a standard ASP.NET button control, and I'll call it button add text box. And I know you folks that aren't used to this Hungarian notation. This is just because I'm an old guy and I can't break the habit. So it's not strictly speaking necessary in today's modern programming languages, but it comforts me. So the next thing that we're going to do here is change the text to say add text box. And because we're going to program against it, let's go ahead and hop over into design mode and double click on that text box so we wire up an event handler that we'll program momentarily. And go back into source mode here. Now we can add that async postback trigger where we'll say that the control ID that we're interested in programming is, well, the event is going to be the click event, right? And the ID that we want to be listening to for a click event will be button add text box. Okay, so there's the first half of our UI. Now we still need to get the bit of logic where we retrieve the values from that collection. So let's do that. Actually, let's grab these breaks, put them outside the div, and just add one inside the div, just doing a little bit of formatting here. Now, now I can add the second update panel, since we want this whole application to be Ajax-y, if you will. And here inside the second update panel, again, we need a content template. And inside the content template, we're just going to want a couple things. We're going to want a button and a label. So I'm going to add the spacing that we want just for pretty formatting. And then let's go ahead and add a button control and a label control. And I just call this my button. And this is going to get the values, and the label will be where we will display the values, so we're not going to start with any text value at all. Let's go into design mode, and okay, so this looks like what we want. Let's double click on get values, so we generate code behind for that as well. And now we can get to the tricky part. Now, the issue here is that the number of controls, or in this case text box controls, that are going to appear on the page are dynamic. And that means that they're not statically defined. So when the page lifecycle happens, we need to be able to determine at the time the page is being built how many controls of this particular type, in our case text box, need to be put on the page, right, because they're not statically defined. So the first thing that we're going to need is a variable to hold the number of controls that are going to be added to the page. Since every time there's a page postback, the ASP.NET lifecycle for this page is going to execute, and we need to figure out for each iterance of the page lifecycle how many controls need to be rendered. So let's add a shared variable. Right, so it will keep its value in between postbacks, and we'll call it my count as integer. And let's just give it a default value of 5, which means that we want to begin by displaying 5 text boxes on the page. We're also going to need an array of text boxes. So let's spell dynamic right. Let's create an array of text box items that we'll call dynamic text boxes, and this is where we'll keep them. Now the next thing that we're going to need is a couple of page events. So we need to execute a little bit of logic before the page starts to render. So let's look at page events, and we're going to need a page preinit event. And I'm just going to move this to the top of the page since we're going to program it first. And we're also going to need we're going to have to override the onInit. So let's find for page events, init. Oh, sorry. That's not what I want to do. Let's go ahead and just code it here. Let's say protected overrides on init and we're going to need one more function that we can use to actually execute some logic to really do the meat of determining what actually caused the page postback. So let's say public shared function get post back control. And we're going to take the page as an argument, so okay. Okay, so let's see. How do I want to dissect this? Well, the first thing that we'll do is let's go up and okay, so here's how I'll dissect this. One of the things that we need to do is to figure out what caused the postback, right? So we need to know whether the thing that caused the page lifecycle to be executing was that someone clicked on our add text box button. So to do that, let's say dim my control as control and let's set it equal to nothing to get started, right? And then let's say dim control name as string equal the page dot request dot params dot get, and what we want to look for is event target. Now, event target, let's go back and run that existing application one more time. So let's run this. This is the finished version. Because this is another little bit of complexity. So let's say view source. And what you'll see here is there's this hidden field called event target. And the script manager will populate this with whatever caused the postback to happen. However, because of the way that HTML works, this only works for certain controls. It doesn't work for buttons. And the reason is that to HTML, a button whose action is submit, you can have multiple ones on the page, but it's recognized a little bit differently in the way that HTML works. So buttons whose input type is submit, you can have multiple ones on the page, but only the one that causes the postback gets added to the request collection. So so in our case, because we're only interested in processing postbacks that are caused by the click event of our button control, we're not going to do anything with the event target. But we want this routine to be reusable. So in this demonstration, we're particularly going against the a button control being clicked. But you could do the same thing by saying, handling a an add check, a checkbox being clicked, for example. And if you were processing against a checkbox being clicked, then you would be very interested in what the event target said, because the event target would detect that click box. All right. So let's go back to our work in progress here. All right. So now we're going to say if control name is not nothing, meaning there was something in the control name and control name is not an empty string, then my control is equal to the page dot find control control name. All right, so understand what's happening here. So in so much as we've programmed so far, we're finding it, we're getting this hidden field variable that contains the name of the control that caused the post back. And then we're just doing a little check to make sure that it's in fact valid. And because the hidden form field event target contained the control name, now we know what control caused the post back, and we're actually going to go get a reference to the control. However, remember, that doesn't work for buttons because of the way that HTML works. So in this case, we have to get a little bit more tricky and say, for each item as string in the page dot request dot form, right? So we're going to iterate through all of the form objects that are contained in the request. And so let's say dim c as control, equal the page dot find control for whatever the current item is, right? So we're saying for every item in the forms collection, get a reference to the item. And now we can say if type of that thing is system.web.ui.webcontrols.button, then my control equals C. Right? So perhaps just a little bit of explanation. Oh yeah, we need to return a value here. So right. So, just one more pass. I want to make sure everybody understands this, that if it's one of the controls that the script manager stores its name in the event target form field variable, which is hidden, then we look for that, and if we find one, then that's the control that caused the postback. But remember, that doesn't work for buttons. You can have multiple buttons whose type is submit on the page, but only the one that got clicked to cause the postback will appear in the forms object collection. So what we're going to do is, since the thing that caused the postback wasn't in the event target field, we're going to go through all of the objects in the forms collection, and we're going to find whichever one is a button. Now remember, only the button that causes the postback will appear in this collection. Right? So now that we have a reference to the thing that caused the postback, whether it's a regular control or a special button control, now we can go and in our page handling logic, which in our case, actually, we don't want to be page init. We want it to be pre init. All right, we want this to happen before init happens. So Let's add the preinit function. And I'm going to put that at the top of the page since that's where we're working logically. Okay, now, here in our preinit function, we can say dim my control as control equal get postback control. Right, which is this function that we just implemented, right? Get postback control, and we pass in the page. Right, so we're just passing in a reference to the page. Right. Now, that returns the control that caused the postback, which gets stored in my control. So now we can say if my control is not nothing. Then let's find out if my control client ID converted to a string is equal to what we named our add text button. So it's add text box. Okay, so again, what we did here was we called the function we just defined back here, found out what the control that caused the postback was, and if it's the add text box button, that means that the user wants to add another text box. So we can simply take my count and make it equal to my count plus one. Right? So the logic we've written so far determines whether or not the user has clicked on the add text box button and added one to the number of text boxes that need to be rendered, if in fact that's the case. Now, and understand that we need to do that in the preinit event handler because it's in oninit where we're actually going to create the text boxes that end up on the page. So, after calling the base oninit function, let's say dynamic text boxes equal new text box, my count minus one, just to get the numbering correctly. Then I can say dim I as integer 4. I equals 0 to my count minus 1 step I plus 1. Right, and this is what we're setting up here is an iterator to walk through for however many text box controls we need to add to the page and add them. So we'll say dim text box as text box equal new text box. So create a new text box item. We've got to set the ID. And these have to be, the IDs have to be unique. So let's set it to, we're going to set those to my text box, but I can't use the same name for every control. Obviously, there'll be collisions. So in our case, you can be as fancy as you want here. In our case, we're just going to say let's append the integer value of our iterator to the name so it will always be unique. All right, so now we've created a text box object. We've set its ID. Now we need to stick it into the placeholder. So let's say my placeholder dot controls. We're going to access the collection, and we're going to call the add method of that collection, and then we're simply going to pop in the text box that we just created. Right, so now it's in the Pages Controls collection. However, we want to make sure that this new text box that we've just added gets recreated every time the page gets refreshed, and that's where this dynamic text boxes array fits in. So we're going to say for the I instance, let's also add our text box. And then, because we want each one of these added controls to appear on a line by itself, let's say dim literal break, which is our variable name, as literal control, and the literal equals new literal control, and this is just going to be a break, so we're going to just add some literal text, which will be the HTML for break control. And then, of course, we have to insert that into the controls collection as well. So let's say my placeholder dot controls dot add literal break. Okay. So remember, this on init method is where the number of text boxes actually get created. Right, so we're starting with 5, and then for each one that gets added, there'll be another iterance in this for loop that takes place. Right, so the next thing that we need to do is handle our button click events. So for our add text button, we don't have to do anything because we need to wire up the event handler. The event handler is not going to actually do anything, but we need to wire up the event handler so we get the page post back. But actually, all the logic is handled in the pre-event in the pre-init method. Now here for our button click, let's just set my label text equal to nothing, and now let's iterate through them being the text boxes. So let's say dim tb as text box, and then for each tb in dynamic text boxes, so this is our array of text boxes that we're maintaining. Let's just say my label.text plus equal the name of the text box, and then resolving to the actual text value, and then we'll just put some delimiter. I'll put a couple of colons there. There we go. All right, so this last little bit is when we're going to retrieve the values. We're going to start by setting the value in the label equal to an empty string, and then we're going to iterate through all of the text boxes that are on the page, and we know they're on the page because they're kept in this dynamic text boxes array, which we've defined here and added to for each new one that the user has added. We're just going to walk through all of those, grab the text that's contained therein, and append a delimiter. That's all we're going to do. And now, just to make sure that we haven't made any mistakes, let's go ahead and run it. So remember what's happened in the background. We said start with a value of 5, right? So we've hit our pre-init method. We call getPostBackControl. getPostBackControl is going to look and see if there's a value in this hidden field. There won't be. And then it's going to look for a button control in the forms collection. There won't be because this is the first rendering of the page. So my control will be equal to nothing. Things will this pre-init for the first loading of the page will exit with nothing actually executing, and then we'll hop into page to on init, where we'll create the array of text boxes. We're going to populate for 5, right? So this is setting up the array, which will be the container for all the controls. Then we're going to iterate through that array and populate the page with each of the text box controls. All right, so let's go ahead and put some values in here so when we retrieve them, we can see them. All right, now add a text box. So remember, what's happening in the background here is that when we hit that controls detection logic, in this case, we'll actually find a button control in the collection, and we're going to return a reference to that control back to our pre-init, which will confirm that that button is the add text box button. So we'll add one to the count, and when we go into onInit, we'll create 6 text boxes instead of 5. And again, if we go ahead and grab the values, we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 because we didn't add anything in the 6 box. Add something in the 6 box, and it will appear. So that's it. Hopefully, that will this video will serve to show you the sort of ins and outs of getting around the natural limitation of the forms-driven design time model of drag-and-dropping controls onto your page in a way that lets you dynamically add controls, remembering to use the pre-init and on-init methods to determine what needs to be rendered in your page. Thank you.